It's Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, bringing you an hour of comedy. Later on, it's Fibber McGee and Molly from 1939. But first, the Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy Show from November 24th, 1946 on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, greeting you from Baltimore, Maryland, on behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Anita Gordon, Mortimer Snerd, Pat Patrick, and our special guest for this evening, Edward Everett Horton. And here's Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Well, hello there, Charlie.
Well, hello. Hello, Mr. Bergen. It is Mr. Bergen, isn't it? Behind those smoke glasses, is that you, Bergen?
Yes, of course it is, Charlie.
Well, what's the idea of the smoke glasses, huh? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do, Bergen? Hide out after last week's program?
No. No, it's just that I don't want to be recognized.
Oh.
You see, with these dark glasses on, I can walk along the street and I'm just nobody.
Yeah. You could walk anywhere and be that.
Yeah, all right. A lot of people wear dark glasses.
Yeah, but you have a reason. Are you ashamed of being Bergen?
No, certainly not.
Oh, I know. I know now.
What?
You're ashamed of being a ventriloquist.
No, that's ridiculous.
Ah, come on, take them off, Bergen.
No.
Come on, take them off. Park the pince-nez. Come on, take him out.
All right, I suppose I might just as well and have it over with. All right, are you satisfied now?
Uh-oh. Oh, pipe the peeper. Hiding a black eye, huh, Bergen?
All right, then go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and laugh. Why don't you laugh?
Sure. Bergen's got a shiner. Bergen's got a shiner.
Yes,
Is that a boat coming in?
Yeah. I tell you, Charlie, my eye just feels terrible.
Yeah, your vision lost the decision, didn't it?
Yeah.
What's the lowdown, Bergie? What's the lowdown? Did you get hit by a door?
No.
A cuspidor.
No. I don't want you to think that I was in a brawl.
No, of course not. I understand. Your eye is just closed for repairs.
Yeah. I wouldn't stoop to fight.
Apparently, you didn't even duck. Come on, what happened, Bergie?
Well, you see, young man, it's my black eye.
Yes.
And I really think that how I got it is my own business.
Oh, you do. Going to get uppity about it, huh? Your business, you say. I have to suffer the disgrace with you, you know. Tell you, Bergie, I'm afraid to let you out alone anymore the way you carry on.
Oh, don't worry about me.
How could I do my homework and be out half of the night looking for you in the gutter?
Now, wait a minute.
Next place I'll find you is in some cheap saloon, you barroom bruiser.
Now, Charlie, just a moment. Just enough, young man. Please remember, I can still take you over my knee.
That's right. Strike a defenseless child.
All right.
You prowler, you assassin in the night.
All right. That's about enough. I'll tell you how it happened.
Well, it's about time. That was like pulling teeth, all right.
The only reason I hesitate to tell you was I was sort of afraid you might laugh.
Oh, you can be more positive than that.
Yeah. You see, Charlie, I was taking a stroll in the park this morning, and I was walking along, communing with nature.
Oh, for goodness sake. Don't make me any more ashamed of you than I am now.
All right. And who did I run into but our nursemaid with my little baby daughter in her baby carriage?
Yeah.
Oh, she looks so cute.
The nurse?
No. The baby. So I reached down and I tickled her under the chin and I went, oochie-coochie-coochie-coo.
Well, why, pray tell?
Well, and you know...
No.
She reached up.
Yeah?
Yes, and she pulled my hair.
If you don't mind, Mr. Bergen, just tell the truth. We'll not expect the impossible.
All right. I started to pick up the baby, and you know what happened.
Well, I can guess.
No.
But they don't know any better.
No, no, Charlie. This... No. As I picked up the baby.
See?
As I picked up the baby, the nurse said, "She looks more like you every day, Mr. Bergen."
Yeah.
And then, for no reason at all, the baby hit me in the eye with her bottle.
I'd say she had a reason.
Yeah, all right.
You know, I like that kid. She's got spunk.
Well, she's strong for her age.
Yeah. There's some brass knuckles to teeth on.
No, no, no. I don't want you to encourage that in any way.
Well, why not? That wouldn't be bad, having a chance slugger for a sister. Or would it? She might give you a shiner like yours, Bergen, huh?
Yeah, please. Let's not talk about my black eye anymore. Let's just forget about it.
Okay, Bergen.
Ray, would you mind playing some music, something?
Yes, some, yeah. Your boy. What would you like to hear?
How about Dark Eyes? No, all right.
Nobleman's orchestra play Ray's special arrangement of the ever-popular Blue Skies.
Well, how are you, Mortimer?
Oh, punk, thanks.
Punk?
Yeah.
Well, you're not sick, I hope.
No, no, I'm lonesome.
Oh, you're lonesome.
Yeah, yeah. Lonesome for the farm and my cow, Bessie.
Oh, I see. You're lonesome for your cow, Bessie.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you'll be glad to get back home next week.
Yeah, Bessie misses me a lot.
She does.
Yeah. Especially when I ain't there.
Yeah, I imagine so.
I just bought her a birthday present.
Well, now, isn't that nice? You bought her a birthday present.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, oh, I saw you going into a department store yesterday.
Yeah, that's when I did it, too.
Yeah. Well, now, what could you possibly buy in a place like that for Bessie?
Well, the clerk said that the best gift for a lady is a pocketbook.
A pocketbook for a cow.
That's silly, ain't it?
Yeah.
Bessie can't read, no.
Well, No, she didn't mean a book.
No.
She meant buy her a bag.
Well, that's sillier yet. Bessie carrying a bag. No.
Never mind, Mortimer. Now,
then she sent me to a place. She sent me a place they call the Longer G department.
No, I'm sure she did.
Yes, she did. Longer G. That's it.
No.
Yes, it was.
No. Probably lingerie.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that means women's section.
Gosh, are they making women in sections now?
No, Mortimer. Lingerie is a French derivative meaning linen goods and underclothing, but through extensive usage has come to mean almost exclusively intimate feminine apparel of sheer and delicate fabric.
No!
Well, how did you make out in the lingerie department?
Well, first I thought I was in a harness store.
Yeah. I'm afraid you were confused.
Well, I got so befuddled, my face got as pink as one of them, pink and that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, never mind the details. What did you finally buy your cow?
Well, you know, Bessie always keeps chewing all the time.
Yes.
So I bought her a box of bubble gum.
Bubble gum.
Yeah. And I bought her a reading lamp, too. Yeah.
But I thought you said Bessie can't read.
Well, it's all right. I bought her one without a bulb.
Oh, I see. Mortimer, how can you be so stupid?
Oh, it's all a matter of being able to say the wrong thing at the right time, I see.
Bergen, I don't see why you waste your time on Mortimer. Really, it's embarrassing for me.
Yeah. Well, I often wonder myself, Charlie. But I was hoping this traveling around the country would awaken his interest and curiosity, and especially here in Baltimore.
Yeah, this is a wild place, ain't it?
Oh, I don't mean that. I mean Baltimore is very historic spot, you know.
Oh, sure. It's very historic here. As a matter of fact, I made a little history myself last night.
Well, I'm serious, Charlie. Why, I bet you can't name three important things Baltimore is famous for.
Let's see. Three.
Yes.
Win, place, and show.
No.
I've been visiting the wrong sites, I think.
Yes. You know, it was right here that Francis Scott Key wrote the Star-Spangled Banner in Baltimore Harbor.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes, and it was near here that the first American railroad started operation. And it's still running today. And there's one thing more Marilyn is famous for.
What's that?
And that's good shooting.
Yeah?
Yes, and I've arranged a little hunting party tomorrow morning. Edward Everett Horton is going to join me. Would you like to come along, Charlie?
Oh, well, sure.
Can I go along too, Mr. Bergen?
Well, of course you can.
Oh, Anita, you don't know anything about hunting, do you?
I do, too. I went skeet shooting once with my father.
Oh, her did?
Yeah.
Did her get anything?
Yes. We got a mother skeet and five little baby skeeters. Yes.
Well, tomorrow morning, we're all going to meet in the duck blind at 5 o'clock. Promptly at 5 o'clock. Do you understand?
Quack, quack. I mean, yes, sir.
All right. Now, that's definite. Tomorrow morning at 5.
Anita Gordon sings the lovely ballad, "The Whole World is Singing My Song."
The whole world is singing my song, but I sing it only to you. The whole world is humming along. I love you, I do. You put my dreams to music. I learned how a song could start. I gave the world the music, but I gave you my heart. The whole world is singing my song, singing how I love you. I love you, I do. You put my dreams to music. I learned how a song could start. I gave the world the music, but I gave you my heart. The whole world is singing my song, but I'll always sing it.
It's really cold out here in this duck blind, isn't it?
Yeah, I should have worn my fur-lined snuggies, I think. I'll bet we sit here and freeze and never shoot a duck.
Well, we'll get some ducks, so my name isn't Edward Everett Horton.
Yeah. Well, Eddie, hey, what kind of gun are you bringing along? What's that you've got?
I have a 45.
A 45 for duck shooting? No, I don't mean that, but you must have to be an awfully good shot to use a gun like that, you know.
Oh, I've shot fish with it.
Yeah. Fish with a gun?
Yeah.
What kind of fish?
Flying fish.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, Charlie, tell me, please. What kind of a marksman are you?
Well, you can figure it out for yourself. I got 3 degrees from Hunter's College.
Oh, boy, it sure is cold out here.
It's pretty chilly, isn't it?
Oh,
look,
there's a whole flock of ducks over there.
Oh?
Yeah, behind those reeds.
Oh, yeah.
Well, come on, let's knock them off right away. Come on.
No, it's too far. They're out of range.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
What do we do?
Well, we use a duck call. You have to call them.
Oh, you do? Yoo-hoo. Ducky, ducky, ducky,
yeah, ducky.
Yeah,
ducky, ducky, ducky.
Chloe.
No.
Ducky, ducky.
You have to talk them in. You have to talk. You have never talked ducks in, have you?
Well, I never knew what to say.
Well, you have to quack like a duck.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Quack, quack, quack. How's that?
Quack, quack.
Did you hear that? Quack, quack. Are you a duck?
Quack, quack. Rather, old boy, yeah. I say, did someone call me?
Well, I don't know. Do you have web feet?
Not yet, old boy.
Oh, it's Ray Noble. Well, Ray.
Hello, fellow Nimrods. I'm frankly sorry I was delayed.
Didn't your alarm go off?
Yes, but the silly thing went off while I was asleep. tell me, chaps, are the ducks biting today?
Yeah. Are the ducks biting today?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. Oh, this is going to be a good day. No, they're not, Ray, no.
Well, I told you, Edgar, you know, this duck hunting isn't what it's quacked up to be.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah, I like to get off a joke now and then.
Yeah. Well, get off that one before you hatch it.
You know, honestly, I cannot understand why we don't get any. The game laws say very distinctly we are entitled to 7 ducks apiece.
Well, maybe we can sue.
No.
There's something moving over there in those bushes.
Yes.
No, chaps, no.
Yes,
no, that's only my dog, Cecil.
Oh. Well, the way he's running around in those bushes, there must be something there.
Yeah.
Oh, not necessarily.
What kind of a dog is he, Ray? A Chesapeake Bay Retriever?
No. Actually, he's half pointer and half setter. It's what you might call a point setter.
No. His stems are too short to be a point setter.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's not his fault, old boy. You see, he was born under a stove.
Look. Tommy, I see something moving over there on the hill.
Let's sneak up now.
It might be a moose or an elk.
Or a Rotarian.
No. Preposterous.
Oh, is that what it is? A preposterous. You suppose they're in season?
I don't know. I have my book of game laws right here. Now, let me see. It says, slowly Gwendolyn took him into her arms and pressed her lips to his... Dear. Wrong book.
Yeah. Wrong game.
Yeah.
What do you say? Let's shoot first and then decide. You know, I think that's a Kodiak deer.
A deer?
Yeah, a deer.
Well, now wait. The book says here, the open season for male deer with two or more points is 6 days, beginning first Sunday in December.
Well, this is Sunday. That's near enough. Did you say December?
December.
Oh, quick, get my bullet back. What was that?
Must have been an echo.
Yeah. Well, that echo shot a hole in my hat. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Come on, let's
get out of here. Friends. Yeah.
Just a moment there, friends. I see you.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do. Didn't you fellows see that sign over there? A private no trespassing.
We never read anything marked private.
Oh. Very cute. Well, for your information, you have just shot Bertram, my favorite mule.
Oh, you mean that deer is a mule?
Yes, he is. Or he was, yeah. And he's always been just like a little brother to me.
I can see the resemblance. Yes.
Well, I'll have you know, young man, that Bertram was very smart.
Oh, sure.
He could even kill flies with his tail.
Oh, so what's that, smart?
Well, can you do it?
Well, I...
Very, very funny.
Yeah, we thought it was.
Well, I definitely did not, and I want you to know, for your information, that your attitude and snide remarks and little innuendos are just getting me into a sniff. And all I can say is, oh, shoot.
Oh, okay, you asked for it.
Oh, I'm wounded. For goodness sake, my gosh, what will I do now?
Well, don't stand there. Get the lead out. Hey,
doctor.
Look, Charlie, look what he's doing. Oh, Charlie, look, he's scaring up all the birds.
Oh, good, they're coming this way.
I see,
here they come. Get a bead on them.
I got them covered.
Good.
Hooray.
I got it.
What do you mean, you got it? You'll pardon my saying so, you're a nasty little liar.
No. Hey, wait a minute. It's not worth fighting over. That's awfully small for a duck. It must be a dove.
Oh.
And doves are out of season.
Oh, my word it is. Start pulling the feathers out quick, Charlie. Stop pulling them out so they'll never know.
Okay. She loves me.
Hey, you guys. Charlie. Just who are you, huh?
Well, who are you?
Well, it so happens I'm the game warden, see? And that looks sort of like a dove you got there. Where's your hunting license?
Right here, sir.
All over my...
All over my new jacket.
Yeah, let's see that thing here now. Yeah, you're hunting with last year's license, huh?
Well, we're only shooting the birds that we missed last year. Bing! Why, that ricocheted. Three cushions.
Say, don't you guys know that violating the game laws is a penitentiary offense?
Well, we certainly wouldn't want to offend a penitentiary.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's a dove you shot there.
Well, now, you may be right, but we didn't shoot it. I think the little beggar just froze to death because it didn't have any feathers.
Yeah. Well, then how are you going to explain that it's still warm?
That's a good question. Yeah. I wish I had a good answer.
I thought so.
Just how do you explain that, McCarthy?
Well, it's, well, you explain it. You shot it.
I shot it.
The Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy Show on 2&2 Yesterday from November 24th, 1946 on NBC. Special guest Edward Everett Horton was a big film star during the silent years in the 1920s, and after much success playing the role of Mr. Witherspoon in 1944's Arsenic and Old Lace, in the year of the broadcast we just heard, he was in three motion pictures, starring alongside actors like Joan Leslie, Constance Moore, and Donna Reed. You're listening to an hour of comedy on 2&2 Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for an episode of Fibber McGee and Molly, heard on NBC on December 5th, 1939.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly with Jimmy Shields, Bill Thompson, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Anything Goes. Have Venetian blinds at your windows? If you do, you'll be interested in a letter we've just received from a prominent Venetian blind manufacturer. Here's what it says. Many times we're asked to advise the best method of preserving wood slat Venetian blinds. Not a week goes by that we do not recommend finishing them with genuine Johnson's wax. Appearances are certainly deceiving. Imagine two people sitting across from each other at the dining table calling each other names with absolutely no hard feelings. Such is the scene tonight at 79 Wistful Vista. As calling names to each other for their Christmas shopping list, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Harlow Wilcox.
Harlow Wilcox.
Jimmy Shields.
Jimmy Shields.
And, Oh, yes, your Uncle Dennis. What are we going to get Uncle Dennis?
Oh, dear, I don't know.
Oh, what does he like to do? What's his favorite sport?
Never mind that. He's got a cocktail shaker.
Oh.
How about Billy Mills?
Oh, I got a great idea for him. Have you noticed that little stick that he leads the band with?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Kind of pathetic, ain't it?
Huh?
A band leader of his standing trying to control all them wolves with practically a twig.
Well, I never thought of that, did
you? Well, I have. I'm going to get him a stick about 6 feet long and 2 inches thick so he can really reach out and wham them windjammers.
Say, Fibber.
Yes, Harlow?
Have you got a good set of golf clubs?
Why, no, I haven't, Harlow. Why?
Oh, I just wanted to know.
Oh,
thanks,
gee.
Pal.
Well, I wonder if he's going to give you some golf clubs for Christmas, dearie.
Gee, who is that? By the way, what did you want, Molly?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, sure.
Oh, you... please forget me.
Oh, thing. No, I don't want to do
just
that.
Give me a handkerchief or something.
Oh, no, Molly.
No. Anyway, we couldn't afford it.
Afford what?
Oh, that diamond wristwatch I saw in the jewelry store window the other night.
Now, listen, Molly, if that's really what you want, I'll work my knuckles.
Oh, no, McGee, please.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
No,
why,
sir.
The idea.
Well, okay. Probably sold it by this time, anyway.
Oh, no, he hasn't. He said he'd hold it till Christmas. Or, I mean...
Come in, thank goodness.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Good day, Mrs. McGee. How are you, Fibber?
Do you really care, Gildersleeve?
Well, frankly, no, not a bit.
What can we do for you, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, if it isn't asking too much, Mrs. McGee, I'd like to have my snow shovel back, the one your husband borrowed last March.
Oh, better give it back to him, dearie.
I can't do it.
Why?
It's busted.
But it is, eh? Just what I might have expected. I'll have to ask you to pay for that shovel, McGee.
Oh, you will. Look at the scar on my wrist, Gildersleeve.
What?
You're responsible for that. Lending me a shovel with a defective handle.
Yeah.
Getting them splinters out cost me $8.50 in doctor bills.
Well, that's too bad, McGee, but that shovel cost me $4.98 wholesale.
And $4.98 from $8.50 is exactly $3.52 that you owe us.
Yeah.
Sir, you hear that, Gildersleeve? And on top of that, there was bandages. Mental anguish.
Sure.
And loss of a week's work.
Right.
Counting the value of my time at $200 a week, plus a dollar's worth of bandages, and, say, $50 for breach of health, that's $254.52. Now, what are you going to do about that?
McGee, you can't do this to me.
Oh, I can't, eh? I'll take this up to the United States Supreme Court. That's where I'll take it up to.
Now, look here, McGee. I'm a reasonable man.
Well?
Suppose I give you $5 and we'll call it square.
$20.
Ten.
15.
25.
30.
35.
40.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're both bidding against me.
Well, then, speak up, Gildersleeve. Speak up. Move in there and protect yourself. 45.
50.
Sold for $50 to the gentleman with the busted shovels.
I still think I'm being taken advantage of. Well, I'll send you a check in the morning, McGee.
Say, Fibber, have you got a good pair of skis?
Why, no, I haven't, Harlow.
You haven't? Okay, thanks.
What is this, anyway? Maybe he decided not to give me golf clubs for Christmas. What was we saying, Gildersleeve?
Skis. I was just remarking, McGee, about how you talked me out of $50.
Nothing to it. Just like eating lettuce.
You certainly drive a hard bargain.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I say... That gives me an idea.
It does?
As you know, I'm manager of the Bon Ton department store.
Sure.
And the way you talked me out of $50 makes me think that you're just the man I need for our adjustment department.
Oh.
Adjustment department?
That's right. I'll pay you $40 a week and a discount on purchases.
We'll take it.
Molly, please. Don't ever snap at a job like that there. It shows you're too anxious. Let's find out more about this thing before we make any...
Well, never mind then. I just thought...
I'll take it, Gildersleeve. Now that I've had time to think it over, when do I start?
Right away, McGee. Get right down there. Wait a moment. I'll call them and tell them you're coming.
Oh.
May I use your telephone?
Sure. Here you are, Gildersleeve.
Thank you. Hello, operator. Give me the Bon Ton department store. Oh, is that you, Mert?
Wow.
How's every little thing, Mert?
Hey. Cut that out, Gildersleeve.
Quiet. What say, Myrtle? A busy signal? Yes, all right. I'll call them later. Well, you get downtown right away, McGee. I'll be waiting for you in my office.
Okay.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Come on, McGee, get your hat. Where are you going?
Down in the basement and ease my conscience.
What do you mean?
Well, I got to play fair with Gildersleeve. I'm going down and bust his snow shovel. Well, is this our office, Gildersleeve?
Yes, it is, McGee.
Wow.
My, very pleasant.
Yeah.
Isn't it? That picture of the seven dwarfs lends such an air of charm.
Yeah.
That, Mrs. McGee, is not the seven dwarfs.
No?
That's a photograph of our board of directors.
Oh. Is it really?
Yeah.
I'd have swore that was Dopey on the end there.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
That's me, McGee. Oh. Now, look, you know what your duties are?
Oh, yes, Mr. Gildersleeve. All we do is adjust the claims of dissatisfied customers.
That's it, exactly. And remember our motto, the customer is always right. And if you run into difficulty, just call on me, McGee.
Okay, Gildersleeve, and the same goes for you. If you want any advice on advertising or merchandising, sales promotion, or any old stuff like that there, our door is always open. Just drop in any time and we'll be only... You know, this is the kind of a job I've always wanted, Molly, where I can really use my tact and diplomacy.
Well, you certainly have plenty of that, McGee.
Huh?
None of it's ever been used.
Hmm. Oh, look, Molly. Now, you sit on that side of the desk, and I'll sit on this side.
All right.
Say, Fibber.
Oh, it's you again, Mr. Wilcox.
Yes. Say, have you folks got a good cabinet radio?
Why, no, we haven't, Harlow.
Okay, pal, I just wanted to know.
What's going on?
He's having a terrible time deciding what to give you for Christmas, McGee.
I'll tell you, but I suppose he feels he ought to do some checking up before he comes to a decision. Like the centipede that got the hot foot.
Uh-oh. Here's our first adjustment, Dizzy. And remember, the customer's always right.
I know. Come in.
Ah, there, my dear. And good day to you, Drip Pan.
Hi, Boomer.
I seem to be in the wrong office, looking for the adjustment department.
Well, this is it, Mr. Boomer.
I'm the adjuster, Boomer.
Oh, yes. I was afraid of that.
Okay, come on, Boomer. What's on your mind?
I have here a large emerald necklace from your jewelry counter that I'm not quite satisfied with. Seems to be a flaw in the string. Like to have my money back. $26,000, I believe, was the amount.
Oh, heavenly day.
$26,000?
I'll take it in small bills. Have to get a shoe shine on the way home.
Boomer, there's something fishy about this. Let's see your sales slip.
Why, certainly. Have the sales slip right here. Now, where did I put that sales slip?
Oh, dear.
Let's see. Here's a snapshot of my nephew, Wyandotte Boomer. Splendid name for the lad, Wyandotte. Feather-brained, chicken-hearted, foul-mouthed, and a clucking general. Ah, what's this? Oh, yes. A wallet I found in a passing hip pocket. Clumsy fellow. He should never have tried to carry the pigskin around the end zone. Letter from some hobo pals of mine in Upper New York. Bums along the Mohawk. here, newspaper clipping. Seems that my old pal Inky Blotz just escaped from Sing Sing. Good old Inky, always leaking out of some pen. A small pocket comb, going in the cloakroom after a while and comb some pockets. A check for a short beer. Well, imagine that. No sales slip. Must have slipped out of my pocket while I was crawling out from under the counter.
My, what a crook.
Pretty consistent guy, though. I seen a baby picture of him shaking his little fist through the bars of his crib when the nurse wanted to powder him.
Really?
Yeah, and the caption was, "Oh, so you won't talc, eh?" Wow. Am I hot tonight?
Say, Fibber and Molly, have you got a nice coffee table?
Why, yes, we have, Mr. Wilcox.
Listen here, Harlow. Shucks, you're going to too much trouble for just us. Let's just make this a simple Christmas.
What do you mean?
Oh, you aren't fooling us. The way you've been bursting in asking us if we have a nice radio or a coffee table.
Or golf clubs or skis.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was just trying to find out how much Johnson's Wax to give you for Christmas.
Huh?
What?
Why, sure.
Well, I'll be a rude expression.
So, you see, I'm giving all you folks on the show a big can of Johnson's Wax for Christmas.
Oh, that's a grand idea, Mr. Wilcox.
Yes, sir. On the surface, I'd say the Johnson's Wax was the best possible gift. Well, so long, folks.
That guy's so enthusiastic about our product, he sent a sales letter to Albert Einstein asking him to try Johnson's Wax on his multiplication table.
Dear, dear.
Come in.
Oh, hello there, little girl.
Hi, Mr.
You looking for somebody?
Sure.
Who?
Hmm?
Who?
Hmm?
Who are you looking for?
Santa Claus, I bet you.
Oh, Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, Molly. She came all the way down here by herself to see Santa Claus.
Well, now, McGee, why don't you take her over to see Santa?
I'll just do that. I'll get a kick out of it myself. Come on, sis.
All right.
Take a hold of my hand. That's it. We'll be back in a few minutes, Molly.
All right, McGee. Thanks, girl.
Thanks, girl. Right over this way, sis. I'll introduce you to Santa Claus myself.
Okay, mister.
I'll bet it'll be a great Christmas at your house this year. You going to hang up your stockings?
No.
Huh?
Hmm?
You ain't going to hang up your stockings? Why not?
It's bad luck, I bet you.
Oh, I'm afraid you're mistaken there, sis.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry, lady.
Oh, but...
Let us through there, please. Thanks. Now, look, sis, why is hanging up your stocking bad luck?
Well, it was for Uncle Charlie.
How come? They fall off the mantelpiece into the fireplace?
Well, they weren't on the mantelpiece. They were on a tree.
On a tree?
Sure. and Uncle Charlie was in them. You know, they say he never got over it, too, I betcha.
I see.
Oh, looky, there's Santa Claus right now.
Sure he is. Now, don't be afraid of him, sis.
Okay.
You walk right up to him and tell him what you want for Christmas.
Oh,
gee. Come on. Don't be bashful. Hi there, Santa Claus.
Hello there.
Here's a little girl that wants to speak to you, Santa.
All right. What is it, my dear?
Go ahead, sis. Come on, speak up.
Oh, gee, I don't want you to hear me, mister.
Huh? Oh, I get it. Okay, sis, I won't listen. Now, you go ahead and talk to Santa Claus.
Well, my dear?
I didn't want to say anything in front of that man because it might spoil Christmas for him, but Mama said for you to eat downtown today because she was going to the bridge club. Go on, Papa.
Folks, Jimmy Shields sings, "A Pretty Girl Is Like a Melody." Take it, Jimmy.
I have an ear for music, and I have an eye for a maid. I like a pretty girlie with each pretty tune that's played. They go together like sunny weather, both with the month of May. Study girls and music, so I'm qualified to say, oh, pretty girl is like a melody that haunts you night and day, just like
to see you.
Oh.
She says she's got something in the store she doesn't like.
Okay, I'll take care of it. Yes, madam?
My name is Mrs. Patricia Goldfarb, and I live 1617 Finkel Arms Apartment Hotel.
You say you got something at this store you didn't like?
Yes, I did.
What department?
Home furnishing.
What was the article?
My husband. See, when I got him, he was the floor walker.
Oh, well, I'm afraid we can't make any adjustments on that.
Oh, remember, McGee, the customer is always right.
Well,
and what do you want us to do about it, dearie?
Yeah.
Well, I want to exchange him for the manager of the ready-to-wear.
Okay, sis, we'll have the driver pick up your husband in the morning. When you wrap him up, be sure and enclose your marriage license, or your sales slip.
All right. Thank you very much.
Imagine a thing like that. Of all the dad-dreaded silly things to want us to exchange, I
can't... McGee, remember our motto, the customer's always right.
Well, they ought to change it.
To what?
To many happy returns of the stuff.
Hello there, Johnny. Hello, daughter. This the adjustment department?
Why, yes, it is, Mr. Oldtimer.
Good. I bought a radio here t'other day, and while I was putting the aerial up, I fell off of the roof. Sprained my back.
Well, that's too bad, old-timer, but what are we supposed to do about it?
Adjust it. Huh? I think it's this bird of zebra right here, Johnny.
Well, I'm sorry, but you better see a doctor about that.
You should have been more careful anyway, old-timer. With all these new built-in antennas, you might have known the aerial business was falling off.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to t'other feller, says, I see where the next issue of Liberty Magazine is printing an article about them radio comedians, Fibber McGee and Molly. Is that so, says t'other feller? Never heard them. They any good? Not at the start, says the first feller. But the last half hour picks up pretty fast when that Bob Hope feller comes in. Well, Johnny, if you can't adjust my back for me, I'll have to... Oop! Oh, there goes that bird of zebra again. Well, better go see a chiropodist.
That old flub bucket. I suppose he thinks I'm impressed because I got my name in a magazine. Chucks, I probably won't even read it.
Well, then why did you order 50 copies from the boy at the newsstand?
That, huh? Chucks, I thought they'd make nice Christmas presents for someone.
Adjustment department? Oh, very well. Send her right up and we'll talk to her. All right. They're sending a lady up with a complaint, dearie.
What kind of a complaint?
She's dissatisfied with some red flannel underwear she bought here.
Red flannel underwear. Okay, I'll talk to her in a minute. In the meantime, I'm going to run out and get a drink of water. I'll be right there.
Now, let me see. A man at 1414 Oak Street complains that the electric train he bought for his little boy is too easy to operate. The lad runs it while his father's at the office. And now, let's see. The lady's coming in about the red flannel underwear. Oh, must be her now. Come in.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppington? Have a chair.
Oh, that's what I stopped in to complain about, Mrs. McGee. I bought some dining room chairs here that simply will not do.
Oh, dining room chairs. Why, we thought that...
Oh, how do you do, Mr. McGee?
Oh, hi, Uppy. Uppy with red flannel underwear? Oh, well... Well, I understand you got a complaint about some stuff you bought here. What's the matter with them?
Well, they're horribly uncomfortable in the first place.
I can believe that. I used to have some myself. The arms and legs are awful stiff.
Oh, McGee, I don't think you mean the same...
But really, my dear, he is absolutely right. Why, one can hardly sit in them for 5 minutes without squirming.
I'll say they can't. They ain't much to look at either, Uppy.
McGee, please, now, she doesn't...
And Mr. McGee is perfectly correct, my dear.
You betcha.
And what's more, they're extremely unsightly in the dining room.
Oh.
Why, I had guests for dinner last night, and they were most uncomplimentary about them.
That was getting kind of personal, wasn't it, Uppy? But, Chucks, we'll be glad to exchange them for you. What style would you rather have?
Now, look, me.
I think I shall exchange them for some with leather seats.
Leather seats, huh? Well, I don't know, Uppy. Of course, they'd wear much longer, but washing them might be a bit of a problem.
No, they can easily be sponged off. What kind do you have yourself, Miss McGee?
Well, mine are white, Uppy.
Oh, really? My, how smart. antique?
Oh, yeah, kind of, but they'll see me through another winter. Only trouble is the buttons keep coming off the older they get.
Say, McGee, for the last time, I'd like to explain...
No, it's all right, Mrs. McGee. I quite understand. The buttons do come off.
You betcha.
I don't think the factory nails them on properly in the first place.
Nails them on? Who ever heard of nails in a suit of red flannels?
Red flannels?
Red flannels.
Mr. McGee.
Huh?
Well, I must say I have never been quite so insulted in all my life.
Insulted?
I shall certainly report your insolence to the manager. Good day, sir. Red flannels. Wait.
What's she getting so huffy about, Molly?
I kept trying to tell you, McGee. She was complaining about some dining room chairs she bought.
Oh, dining room chairs.
Sure.
I thought she was the one about the red flannel.
No.
Listen here, McGee.
Oh, hi, Gildersleeve. Say, we're doing a great job for you here. I'll bet you never had a guy in here before.
Be quiet, McGee. Did you just insult Mrs. Abigail Uppington?
Oh, I wouldn't say I insulted her, Gildy. We just had a slight misunderstanding.
Oh, misunderstanding, you call it, when you joke with a prominent society woman of this city about wearing red, I won't say it.
Red flannel.
Thank you. McGee, what did I tell you was the motto of this department?
The customer is always right.
And when?
Always.
Exactly.
You betcha.
The customer is always right.
That's right.
Mrs. Uppington is the customer.
Why, sure she is.
And she says you should be fired.
Why, sure I should. Uh-huh.
Good day.
Oh, sure.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to join us again next Tuesday night at this same time. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly on Tuned to Yesterday from December 5th, 1939 on NBC. And that closes this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.